This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Traveling Jack, a new ZBS adventure series starring that accidental cosmic tourist, Jack Flanders. And now, part one of Do That in Real Life.
I can't get away from it. It keeps getting closer. Oh, my God. Now, it's reaching out for me.
Not at home right now.
It's eyes.
We have a message.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man. Pick up the phone.
There are no eyes.
It's me, Mojo.
It's hands. They're trying to grab my neck.
I know you're there. What do I have to do? Reach through this phone and give the shape? I'm going to say this once.
Help me.
Okay. You asked for it. Wake up.
What?
Now, pick up the phone.
Oh, my God. Mojo? I was having a nightmare. I was being chased by a zombie.
Tell me about this zombie.
It's the second time I've had this dream.
What was he doing?
He was trying to grab me.
Why?
Who knows why zombies are always wanting to grab people.
Didn't you ask him?
Oh, Joe, I was being choked.
Where's this happening?
In my dream.
No, man. I mean, what place?
Mojo, I don't want to relive this right now.
It was a real zombie.
Well, it was real enough in a nightmare.
That dream is trying to tell you something.
Like what? Run faster?
No. Probably more like wake up.
Oh, right. Speaking of waking up, Mojo, it's 4:30 in the morning.
Not where I am.
Yeah, never is where you are. By the way, where the hell are you?
You know I'm not going to tell.
Is that a clue playing in the background?
I'm not saying.
Are you south of me?
Maybe.
Do they bury their dead above the ground?
Ooh-wee. You're getting real close, real fast.
Do they add chicory to their coffee?
Oh, man, this was too easy.
Well, even though they do have some great coffee, and they do bury their dead above the ground, I don't think you're in Sulawesi.
Sulawesi?
Yeah, because I don't think Dixieland is their indigenous music. Where you are, there's a kind of donut the locals have with their café au lait.
Beignet?
Right. Kind of squarish, covered with powdered sugar.
Zombies like beignets.
Oh, I'll remember that.
So, you coming down here?
New Orleans?
New Orleans. Maybe you'll stop dreaming.
How's that?
Maybe you'll meet some real zombies.
Aren't you thinking of Haiti?
We got a few down here.
Really? And a little voodoo thrown in?
Oh, yeah. But you know that voodoo is just another religion.
You mean like being Methodist or Presbyterian, Mojo?
You know what Carl Gustav Jung said about religion?
Refresh me, Mojo.
Religion is a defense against the religious experience.
Isn't that a little heavy for... What is it now? Oh, God, it's 4:43 in the morning.
How about this? A man goes to see a doctor. He gets a checkup. The man says, "So, Doc, how long do I have to live?" The doc says, 10. The man says, 10? 10 what? 10 months? 10 weeks? 10 days? The doc replies, 10, 9, 8. So what time are you going to be here?
Why are you in New Orleans?
I'm booked at a club down here.
In the French Quarter?
That's right.
What's it called?
Frenchies.
Yeah, Frenchies, naturally.
If you fly in this afternoon, we can have dinner together.
Mojo, I'm on my way.
Ah, you're gonna love this place.
You haven't gotten involved with any of those
voodoo queens, have you?
Oh, man. You don't want to fool around with those women.
So, no voodoo for the hoodoo man, eh, Mojo?
No, that's for the tourists.
Ah, so Mojo is living in New Orleans, New Orleans, home of Marie Laveau, but he hasn't come across any voodoo?
I didn't say that. Voodoo's everywhere, man. But they play up the voodoo stuff for the tourists.
Oh, only for the tourists, huh?
Well, I did have a little encounter, but it was nothing.
So tell me about this nothing, Mojo.
There was some guy down here.
He called himself Blue Jesus. He was going around scaring some of the women. If they didn't do what he asked, he'd put a curse on them.
Really?
Well, he had a couple of them thinking he could. So he scared Elsie here. She's a waitress at Frenchie's. I asked her, you want me to talk to him? She said, I don't want him putting no hurting on you. I said, it's cool. I'll just have a little chit-chat.
Yeah, was it cool?
I was nice to the guy. I said, look, man, you're scaring these women. That's not right.
And he apologized, right?
I knew it wasn't going to be that easy.
Well, what happened?
He told me I better watch myself or he'd put one on me.
And he was serious?
He thought he was. I said, you can try to put one on me, but it's not going to stick. He said,
you ain't got no choice. It's going to burr right into your heart, man.
Ooh, that wasn't very nice.
I said, listen, man, you don't want the boomerang effect. He said, what's that? And I said, you don't want that boomeranging right back where it came from.
And?
He sort of snorted. And I said, you know, when it comes back with twice the force.
Did he believe you?
He thought I was challenging his powers.
I said, man, I'm just telling you what's going to happen. You toss something at me, not going to hurt me. It's going to come back, return to sender.
Yeah, did he buy that?
There was nothing to buy. It was true. You remember when we were in Sumatra and those old women were throwing their dark energy at us?
Yeah.
You remember how we made ourselves into mirrors? And that energy not only reflected off us, it bounced right back at them.
I remember.
I didn't tell that guy that I was mentally putting up a mirror.
I just told him what he was doing was bad. Bad for his health.
And he agreed?
Oh, yeah, right. He started to strut like, you telling me what to do? Where you from, man? I told him, I'm from Philly, and I'm playing piano down here at Frenchie's. He said, who are you? I said, come on down and see who I am. He said, what's your name, man? I said, just ask for Mojo Sam, the you-do man.
And when he heard that...
his eyes popped right out of his head.
He knew of you?
Well, Frenchie's had put up a lot of posters around town. And there was this picture of me sitting at the piano. And there's candles and a skull.
And I'm playing with my eyes rolled back up in my head.
Really, Mojo?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I said, come by Frenchie's. Tell them you know me. They'll let you in for free.
And you made a friend for life.
I don't know about that.
But I haven't heard any more problems.
Mmm. What is this soup?
Gumbo.
It's terrific.
You ought to try their raw oysters.
You know, I've never really gotten off on raw oysters.
I like the baby ones.
Yeah, baby oysters, raw.
They're about the size of your little fingernail. They slip right on down. Mm-mm.
So tell me about New Orleans. New Orleans.
It's a Scorpio city.
Hmm?
It was founded under the sign of Scorpio. The energy here isn't like anything I've ever felt in any other city, not in the U.S. This city has emotions.
You know, I feel strange being here without a purpose.
Hmm? I thought you were the purpose. You're the one dreaming of zombies.
Don't remind me.
You just need to tell yourself that you're dreaming.
Mojo, my whole life is a dream.
You know, there's three kinds of dreams. The first kind is when you awaken from a dream at night. The second is awakening at death from the dream of life.
The big dream.
And the third is when you awaken with enlightenment.
Yeah.
So if your life is a dream that we'll awaken from when we die, then it means that whatever you encounter in your life, no matter how bad it is, just remember, you're only dreaming.
So, how do you like New Orleans?
Well, any place that buries their dead on top of the ground has something going for it.
Why don't they bury them in the ground? Is it because this was all swamp once?
If you bury them in the ground, when it rains, they'll pop right back up.
Really?
Yeah, the city's like 10 feet below sea level. That's why some people feel that one day a big hurricane is going to come and knock those levees flat, and we'll be all in over our heads.
And people just, they actually live with that.
Yeah. You remember in Sumatra, people living in Bucatinga at the foot of two volcanoes?
Yeah.
Or in Naples, people living right next to Mount Vesuvius? They all know that thing is going to go off one day, but they go on with their lives.
Yeah. What about the French influence here? Wasn't New Orleans founded by two brothers from Quebec?
Two French Canadians, Pierre and Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne.
Mm. But the French Quarter, all these wrought iron balconies. This architecture isn't French, it's Spanish.
But there was a couple of big fires that swept through here. The last time the city burnt down, it was owned by Spain. So they replaced the wooden buildings with brick and built it in the Spanish style. With arch walkways, interior courtyards, and these iron-laced balconies you see above you.
So how are the clubs?
Oh, there's lots of them. You want to stop in French's for a nightcap?
It's been a long day. I think I'll pass.
You know the way back to your hotel?
Yeah, the Richelieu. It's straight down Charter Street. Good night, Mojo.
See you tomorrow.
Ciao.
Salute.
I don't think there's any other city in the U.S. that feels quite like New Orleans. It's probably what Mojo said. Swamp vibes. Any place that has to bury their dead above ground. The clubs are certainly filled. People just spilling out onto the sidewalks. Reminds me a little of old Montreal on a hot summer night. I wonder what ever happened to Madame Claudine. Something about her. I don't know if she was even from this realm. She was so radiant. There were times that she seemed to glow as though... Who is that woman? She's been watching me. She looks a little like... No, it can't be. She looks like Claudine. I was just thinking about her, but it can't be. The more I look at her, the more she becomes Claudine. Why is she sitting at that table, here in the French Quarter? Claudine?
Jack!
What are you doing in New Orleans?
Visiting. And you?
You mind if I sit down?
Please.
I came to see Mojo.
Mojo?
Yes, you remember... Oh, you never actually met Mojo.
No.
You are Claudine from Montreal.
Of course. Why do you ask?
I don't know. Your eyes, they're...
Yes?
They're different.
How are they different?
I remember your eyes were blue-gray with just a tint of green. But now they're so dark, I can't see any color.
Perhaps they change with the climate.
Yeah, maybe. Where are you staying?
With friends.
Here in the French Quarter?
Yes. Well, it was nice to see you again.
Can we get together sometime?
We'll see. Salut.
Ciao. Oh, that was a surprise. She just... Yes?
Your chair.
Might... But I didn't... She left without... Let's see it. Ouch.
We accept MasterCard, Visa, Discover, American Express, and Diner's Card.
Oh. I'll just bet you do.
The next day, Jack gives Mojo a call.
You saw Claudine?
Yeah.
What is she doing down here in the French Quarter?
I don't know. She is French.
You say she was just sitting there in some cafe.
Yeah. Except she was different.
How's that?
Well, it was her, and it wasn't her. It looked like her, it sounded like her, but, well, her voice. Every now and then I thought I heard another voice.
Another voice in her voice?
Yeah. Maybe she's like a chameleon. She changes with the temperature. You playing at Frenchie's tonight?
Every night. Come on by.
I will.
That evening, Jack is strolling up Bourbon Street headed to Frenchie's. As he passes a cafe, he notices a woman who looks strangely familiar. He stops, trying to recall who she is. The woman notices Jack standing on the sidewalk, looking at her through the wall of glass. She smiles. She waves. She beckons. Jack accepts the invitation. As he approaches her table, he is amazed to discover it's Claudine.
Jack, how nice to see you again. Please, join me.
Thanks.
I apologize for yesterday. You were the last person in the world I would expect to meet in Nouvelle-Orléans.
Yeah, same here.
I want you to know something. Last night, when I looked over and saw you standing there, I could not believe my eyes. I was thinking of you at that very moment.
Amazing.
And you were thinking of me. Isn't it strange how these things happen?
Yes, it is.
Would you like something? Some coffee?
Yeah, sure.
Beignet? Café au lait?
Oh, fine.
Garçon, un beignet et un café au lait, s'il vous plaît.
Sure thing, man.
Tell me, Claudine. How did you know I was thinking of you at the same moment you were thinking of me?
You told me last night, Jack.
No.
Well, were you?
Yes, I was.
So there you are. Serendipity.
You know something?
Tell me.
You're good.
Am I?
Oh, yeah. You're very good.
I try to be good. I really do. But sometimes, you know how that is, don't you?
You are one of the best.
Oh, I thank you.
But you start to lose it on the backstretch.
Now you are losing me, Jack.
No, no. I think you're losing Claudine.
Am I not, Claudine?
You picked me out of the crowd. Who are you?
Claudine?
I don't think so.
What do I have to do to convince you?
You could try being yourself.
Coffee and beignet.
Thank you.
Jack, I just had an epiphany. How extraordinary.
Oh, really?
I know you more than I know.
Could you repeat that?
I know you more than I know.
You don't even know me. You're not Claudine.
Is she not beautiful?
Well, yeah, she is.
Is her skin as smooth and dark as mine?
Smooth, yes, but dark? No, actually, she's quite white. In fact, there's no resemblance at all.
Men often see me as a memory.
And then you become that memory?
I wouldn't put it that way.
When you looked at me, and our eyes met, you read me, didn't you?
What does that mean?
You became the person I was thinking about.
Now, how is that possible?
I have no idea. You're the one who's doing it. Now, do you mind if I sit down?
Yes.
Is that... yes, you do mind?
Yes.
Ah, well. I hope you've had fun. Oh, I'm Flanders, by the way. Jack Flanders. But you probably picked up on that anyway, didn't you? May I ask your name?
Claudine.
No. I'd say you are...
Sophia.
Sophia.
Who are you?
I am what I am.
Mm-mm. No, you are not.
Now, may I sit?
I don't care. I'm leaving anyway.
No, 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 wait a minute.
What?
Come back, okay?
Why should I?
Because... you're a very attractive woman, and...
and?
And your bill is lying here waiting to be paid.
Give me that.
Gladly.
You pay for this.
Oh, no. Not this time.
No. Next time.
How did you know her name?
I don't know. It just came to me.
And that made her angry?
Well, the first time I met her, I was walking along, thinking of Claudine, and I looked over, and there was Claudine. Somehow, she had picked her image right out of my mind, and she became Claudine.
A shapeshifter?
It wasn't until the second time I met her that she started to lose it. Her own voice was coming through what I thought was Claudine's, and when I confronted her, She changed. I mean physically changed, right while I was standing there. She didn't look anything like Claudine. She has dark skin.
She's black?
Probably she's mixed.
There's some women around here you don't want to fool with.
Yeah, I'll keep my distance.
That's not so easy to do.
Why?
If she can change herself so that you think she's someone else, how will you know who you're talking to?
Oh, Mojo, I don't think she's that good.
You better hope not.
Come on.
What if she wants to play with you?
What does that mean?
You ever watch a cat play with a mouse? They let it start to crawl away, but then this big paw comes down and grabs its tail and yanks it back again. And it does that over and over until, you know what.
Mojo, I'll try to keep my tail tucked between my legs.
Man, you better.
The next morning, as Jack is wandering through the French market, he hears a familiar voice.
Hey, what are you doing here?
What?
It's me, Dominique.
And why are you in New Orleans?
My sister lives here.
She's French-Canadian, right?
But they speak French here, too.
Yeah, I know.
Well, have you heard Cajun French or Creole? It's impossible. I saw Mojo's poster. He's playing here, did you know?
You're not Dominique.
What?
You're good, but you're not Dominique.
Jack?
I'm not falling for that again.
What are you saying?
Look, lady, you just plucked this right out of my head, didn't you?
What's wrong with
you? You know what I'm talking about.
I know your stupid head is so empty. What is there to pluck? Pluck you, Jack.
She did sound a little like Dominique.
Later, having his late morning beignet and café au lait, Jack suddenly looks up, and there, standing over him, is quite a sweet sight.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, Sophia.
My name is not Sophia.
Whatever.
May I join you?
Sure.
Thank you.
So, tell me, who are you?
I know you.
Yeah, from where?
From here and from there.
Well, I know where here is, but there could actually be anywhere.
There is where you and I were lovers. It was a long time ago.
And where a long time ago was that?
Morocco.
Morocco?
You abandoned me.
Now, why would I do that?
You broke my heart.
You have one? Listen, Miss or Madam, Ms.
Ashe.
So it's Ashe now?
You don't remember me.
Definitely not.
Would you like to?
Look, Sophie, Ashe. Aren't we a little confused here?
Are we, Jack?
You've confused me with someone you met in Morocco, and I've confused you with someone I met in Montreal.
Do you love her?
Who?
The one from Montreal.
Claudine? No. Why?
Because I still love you.
Do you?
Can't you see that?
Ashe. You're a very attractive woman, but
Would you like to know me?
No.
Why?
You're a little too dangerous.
Don't you find that exciting?
No. Look, I have to go. I'm meeting someone.
Mojo Sam?
Yeah.
Didn't he play piano at Casbah Kelly's?
How do you know that?
You have no idea what I know.
I see. Okay. Ciao, Sophia.
My name is Ashe.
Right.
Man, it sure don't take you long to sit right in it.
Mojo, she knows me.
You don't know who she is?
I, I swear, I have never seen her before.
I've been asking around. She's new in the quarter. She's a sort of princess.
Oh, she's no princess.
Well, you're lucky she's not a queen.
A queen? Queen of... Hey, you don't mean...
Who did you think you were fooling with?
Now he tells me.
Mm-hmm.
So where's she from?
All I know is she's here, and she's staking out her territory.
You mean she's gathering a following?
That, and maybe looking for a consort.
A consort?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Why did I ever come to New Orleans? Hey, wait a minute. You're the one who talked me into coming here.
But I didn't say go and get yourself involved with some voodoo queen.
Princess. Look, I'm not involved.
Man, you are so involved.
Mojo, I'm not.
You know these women, they sprinkle a little powder in your food or in your drink or down your neck. And next thing you know, she's the most beautiful thing you've ever laid your eyes on.
She is sort of attractive.
Uh-oh.
Nothing's going to happen.
Why are you so sure about that?
Because I know I'm the one who'll get scorched.
I'm glad you know that.
But she sure is interesting.
Oh, man.
And now, part two of Do That in Real Life. Jack Flanders has been having a recurring dream, or maybe we should call it what it really is, a recurring nightmare, where he's being chased by a zombie. It all started when Mojo enticed Jack to come down to New Orleans, telling him that here, among all the voodoo vibes, Jack may be able to understand his dream. But as soon as Jack arrived, he met a woman who reminded him of Claudine from Montreal. The more he looked at her, the more she became Claudine. But she wasn't Claudine. She was a voodoo priestess, and she was playing with his mind. Well, now it appears, she wants more than just Jack's mind. It's night in the French Quarter. Jack is asleep in his hotel. And as before, his nightmare returns.
Oh, God. Here it comes. He's shuffling after me. I know I'm dreaming, but why am I so terrified? Because I'm being chased by a zombie. That's why. Oh, that thing is going to grab me by the neck and pick me up and shake me like a dead rat.
Jack? Huh? Jack? Were you dreaming?
There's this zombie who keeps trying to grab me by the neck.
Why?
I have no idea. Hey, how did you get in here?
You're perspiring.
Yeah.
Lie back. Let me cool you.
Oh, your hands are like ice. It's like...
Like what, Jack?
Like you're not alive.
Am I a zombie?
What are you doing?
You need more than my hands to cool you.
Claudine.
Lie back, Jack. Let me cool you.
I don't think this is... I mean... Something's very strange here. I knew it. You're not Claudine.
Wake up!
Huh?
You heard me say wake up?
Yeah, I did.
I'm glad I could help.
Mojo, I'm going back to New York.
Are you scared?
No. Well, a little, yeah, but... I keep having these dreams.
About a zombie.
Oh, yeah, well, that one too, but... Oh, this woman, Claudine, Sophia, Eche, whoever she is next, I'm beginning to...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm finding her...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's...
Enticing?
You could put it that way.
You've been empty your pockets.
Huh?
Let me see what you're carrying.
What do you mean?
Trust me on this.
Okay. Wallet, room key, change, pen.
Let me see your wallet.
Here.
Mind if I take everything out?
There's not much there. A few credit cards, a driver's license, some cash. Ojo, what are you looking for?
You sure you emptied all your pockets?
Every pocket I can find.
Let me see your shoes.
Sure. See?
Take them off.
Whatever you say, Mojo. Here.
Both of them.
Yes, Mojo. Here.
No. Nothing. Okay. You can have them back.
Why, thank you.
Let me see your Panama.
Huh? Look, there's nothing under my hat except my head. Would you like to examine that?
Or someone should.
I don't usually stash things in my sweatband.
Sweatband? Let me see.
Ojo, what are you looking for?
I want to see inside your hat. Hand it over.
Okay.
What's this?
What?
This.
What is it?
I'm asking you.
Looks like a microchip. The hell is it doing in my hat? Is this some sort of computer voodoo?
That's packing something. I can feel it.
How did it get here?
I think it's time you learn. There's some women you don't want to take your hat off to.
That afternoon, Mojo seeks out an acquaintance who spends a good deal of his time outside, on the street, watching people.
Well, she just showed up at the quarter.
When was that?
A few months back, she set up a card table by Jackson Square, reading palm, tarot card, you crystal, you know, like that.
So she's a psychic?
Yeah, I told you everybody's psychic around here. The place is crawling like psychic. I don't know how she got by.
Did she have a man?
No, not then, but she wasn't much to look at.
Man, you kidding? She's something.
I know what she is now, but she were.
How's that?
She's ugly, man.
Oh, no way.
Well, maybe not ugly, but she's certainly on the south side of homely. Was skinny and flat, you know, flat front, flat back, flat inside. Hips like a boy flying there. She turned sideways. You couldn't even see her. I never saw any woman so flat. And her face, well, you know, her face was like, we used to call it what, a butter face, you know, a nice girl, but her face, ooh.
Are we talking about the same woman?
Yeah, she changed.
What did she do? Go see a plastic surgeon?
She bargained with the devil. That's what she did. Some people say that. I don't know. All I know is that maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks, she just filled out. The red hip, oh, yeah, that's sweet, that's sweet, I like it. She changed her hair, changed her clothes, her rings, her beads.
This is the same woman?
I saw it, and every day she was different. She got the guys sniffing around her, you know. She can have whoever she wants.
She wants a friend of mine.
Well, he's cooked. Oh, yeah, he is cooked. Man sees a woman like that, they see something they like to rub up against, spend a little time with. But me? Nope. What I see is one shapely problem shaking her behind and saying, honey, a piece of me is gonna mean no peace for you.
I think I better get my friend out of town.
Well, too late. Forget it. There was this dude got involved with her, and then he tried to escape, moved up to Chi-Town, and she came after him in his dreams. Can you dig that?
His dreams?
Yeah. Pulled him right back here. Broke him into little pieces, walking around like a zombie, some kind of dry-eyed zombie, bumped into a telephone pole, just crashed into a million little pieces like BBs, like that little RoboCop going around, only he didn't come back to where the RoboCop did. And then one day, he just wasn't around anymore.
You mean she could be sending me those idiotic zombie dreams?
Yeah, you were having those dreams before you even met her.
I know.
You never met her before?
Absolutely never. But you know, Mojo, she said a strange thing to me. She said, I know you more than I know.
I know you more than I know?
I hope this isn't some past life thing I have to deal with.
There is something about her.
Something familiar?
Yeah.
Look, Mojo, she knows about Morocco. She knew about Casbah Kelly, the Countess Zazenia, even Mustafa.
Can she ever read you?
I know she can. Mojo, you said your friend said she could transform herself in a matter of weeks.
That's right.
Not suddenly, but gradually.
He saw it with his own eyes.
Why does she want me? There's hundreds of men walking around down here that are better looking than I am. Well, maybe not hundreds, but...
I was thinking about finding some protective spells for you, but I don't think they'd work.
No?
Man, if she can shapeshift, she is good.
It's a warm spring day in New Orleans. Mojo has taken Jack and Dominique on a walking tour of the French Quarter. Of course, a Mojo tour doesn't include the normal tourist attractions. Mojo points to landmarks your eyes can't see.
There's very strong astral energy here. It's the sort of energy you can take up or down. You can work with it, heal with it, or do something not so nice with it.
What does that mean, Mojo?
Up ahead. There's a bar. Now, you don't want to go in that place. There's things in the shadow.
No, come on.
He's right.
We call them hungry ghosts. They're ghosts that are hungry to feed on something.
What, do you mean feed on people?
You'd make a nice, sweet dessert, Dominique.
Oh, come on. What do you mean, Mojo?
If you're feeling sad, feeling miserable, feeling sorry for yourself, you go in there and sit in a dark corner, they'll come out to feed on you. And by the time you leave, you'll feel worse than you went in. Maybe you can feel something when we walk by. Did you feel that dark stuff coming out the door?
Oh, you mean the cigarette smoke and stale beer?
You know what I'm talking about.
Do they do black magic in there?
It's just the bar. Lots of bars have hungry ghosts.
Dominique, It's true.
You said the Orishas are deities?
Well, in voodoo, they're called the Loa. In Santeria and Candomblé, it's the Orishas.
Yeah, what they really are is energy.
That's right. Raw energy with a lot of power. They say that the Orishas are the mouthpiece of the Godhead. Through them, God makes his wishes known to mankind.
But not to womankind.
Oh, look out, Mojo.
God doesn't have to tell womankind because they already know.
Oh, nice shuffle step there, Mojo.
Do you pray to God or to the Orishas?
You pray directly to the Orishas. You get quicker results.
And then you can get what you want?
But worshiping an Orisha demands strict obedience, total surrender. It's pretty much like handing over your life for your belief.
People do that in other religions. Look at the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Christians. What's the difference? Jack, do you believe in this religion?
Which one? Macumba, Candomblé, Santeria, Voodoo?
They all have their roots in Africa.
Do you believe in the Orishas?
I've seen a few things. I know it's real.
But there are also psychological aspects to consider here. Each Orisha seems to be an archetype. Jung pointed out that archetypes are independent from the rest of our personality. According to Jung, each archetype controls a different aspect of the personality.
Huh.
That's what Orishas are. Archetypes, right?
So you're saying all the Orishas are already within us?
Look, each individual has certain characteristics that set him, her, apart from others. He or she is said to be under the protection of the Orisha who shares those same characteristics.
It figures.
Did you ever practice voodoo?
It's easier getting in than getting out.
Why?
Like I said, you have to take vows. You break the vows to an Orisha and they don't always have a sense of humor.
Oh, Mojo never practiced voodoo.
Well, not exactly.
Then what exactly?
I don't practice anything. Exactly. Miss, my check?
You're not leaving until you answer. Exactly.
My religion is a little of this and a little of that.
I find this all quite fascinating, but don't you two think these orishas of yours are very strange?
Why? Hindus pray to deities, like Ganesha, the elephant god, or to Hanuman, the monkey god.
And Christians pray to saints and to angels.
True.
So when you get to the essence of it, it's all just energy.
Okay, I see.
As Mojo and Dominique are crossing Canal Street, an old streetcar rumbles by.
So, which one is the streetcar named Desire?
Oh, they discontinued that line.
Why?
They're trying to save money.
Oh, what do they have now?
Buses.
They scrapped the most famous streetcar in the world, a streetcar named Desire, for a stupid, polluting, no-name bus?
Well...
What is wrong with your country? What has happened to your people?
Well, my people ain't had it that easy.
I'm sorry.
I may be an American, but watch who you lump me in with.
Why have Americans gone crazy about terrorism? Long before 9/11 in Oklahoma, there were hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 lynchings of black people. Mojo, is that not terrorism?
That's terrorism.
I don't know, Mojo. Is everything getting worse? Is everyone going crazy?
Seems like that at times.
What is it like to have black skin? No, tell me.
That's something I was born with. Don't you know that?
I know, I ask a stupid question, but tell me anyway.
It depends. Some places, white people see a black man and they get suspicious or scared. They don't like my being there. And some places it's okay. But they look at me like I'm different. And I want to say, my soul isn't any different than yours.
But your soul is different, Marshall.
How's that?
You've been feeding it. It's a very big soul, don't you know?
That night, Dominique has a dream. A dream about a streetcar in New Orleans. But her streetcar is not named Desire. In fact, the name is quite different indeed. The next afternoon, Dominique is looking after her sister's children. They keep pestering her to tell them a story.
Okay. Have you heard the story of the littlest pirate?
No?
You want to hear it?
Yes.
His name was Louis. Louis Lafitte. He was the direct descendant of the most famous pirates in New Orleans, Jean and Pierre Lafitte. Uh-huh. Well, he was very small. Not small, tiny, tiny small, but, you know, he was small. So people called him Little Louis Lafitte. And this is the story of how at age 10, he became captain of his own ship.
Pirate ship.
Except it wasn't really a ship. You'll see what it is. So, one night, as little Louis was walking home alone, a fog came creeping up out of the river and into the streets of New Orleans. And he was thinking about pirates, wishing he was a pirate. In fact, he was so lost in thought, he got lost. And he walked right past his street, and he kept on walking, and then he saw some very strange shapes looming up out of the fog. He knew what they were. Mausoleums. Do you know what that means? A mausoleum is like a place where they put the people when their bodies are dead, yes? They bury them, but above in the ground instead of underneath, they bury them in these buildings. They call them mausoleum. So where, if you see gravestones and mausoleums, where do you think you are?
Graveyard.
Yeah. Cemetery. He stopped. He stepped back. He tripped. He almost fell over. And then, crouching down, he felt around and there was something big and cold under his hand, and it was metal, but it was rough. It was a rusted old railroad track. But a railroad track in a cemetery? This is very weird. What did he do? He followed the tracks until he walked right into a long, very strangely shaped mausoleum. This mausoleum was so strange. It had a headlight, like a big headlight on one end, as big as your head, like a big eye. And on the side of it were a row of windows. And so he stood on his tiptoes. He tried to peep into the windows, but they were too smudged with dirt. He could not see. So he looks over and he sees a step and a little door. That must be locked. But when he stepped onto the step, the door creaks and slowly folds open. And he knew this wasn't a mausoleum at all. Except it really was, as he'd soon find out. What was it? It was an old abandoned streetcar. It was. And then it started to pour rain coming down in buckets. And poor little Louis Lafitte is getting so wet. He says, "Oh," he hops out of the rain and into the cold, dank, musty, cobwebbed and yet strangely rather sweet smelling and rather inviting and rather cozy and strangely comfortable old abandoned streetcar. The rain is pelting down, dumping on the metal roof, but inside he feels safe, as if he were home, and so he sat down in the driver's seat. But as he sat down in the driver's seat, there was a terrific flash of lightning. Two things happened at once. First, the door slammed shut, and the streetcar became remember, little Louis Lafitte was descended from pirates, and it would take more than this to scare a Lafitte. Of course, it was enough to make anyone's hair stand on end. You see, little Louis Lafitte had very, very short hair, like a little brush cut, so his hair was already standing on end, but it was really scary. And the second thing that happened, the streetcar began to move, creaking and groaning like some great metal monster slowly waking up. It started to crawl down the rusted tracks, and it's picking up speed, and then he begins to hear all this very odd little clickety-clackety-clickety-clacky things. Is it the train? No, it sounds like nothing he's ever heard before. He turns around. He looks down the length of the streetcar. Lightning flashes again! And little Louis Lafitte froze in his tracks, so to speak. Why? Because almost all of the seats were occupied. And he could see his passengers very distinctly.
People.
Skeletons. Some of these skeletons, they clutched their cutlasses, you know, their big knives and their bony fingers. Some of them, even though they were only skulls, they had the long beards and the long mustachios. In some, they had the bandanas. In some, they had the eye patches, which, of course, was very odd because they only had holes for eyes, so what could they see? But they all had teeth. These yellowish, brown, stained tobacco teeth that clicked and clacked and clicked and clacked, and their skeleton jaw bones move up and down and sideways as though they were still chewing tobacco. And they nodded their skeleton skulls, and then slowly, as though they hadn't done this in a long, long time,
They began to...
It wasn't a scary horror. No. It was a simple, single... Like a horror a parrot might make when waking from an excellent dream. Because an excellent dream for a pirate would be a very bad dream for us, huh? It was a friendly, happy har, a sort of, well, back in business kind of har. Well, little Louis decided to get off at the next stop, or just get off, even if the streetcar didn't stop. But when he tried to open the door, he pushed and he pulled and he pushed and he pulled. It would not open! Picking up speed, they were picking up speed, they were on their way, but where were they on their way to? What will happen to little Louis Lafitte? Will he ever escape? Oh, maybe it's best that we never find out. Maybe next time.
That evening, Jack, Mojo, and Dominique have dinner together.
You're certainly right about the food down here. The steak, although a little bloody, it's terrific.
You know, speaking of bloody steaks, this is vampire country.
What?
I said this is vampire
country. I heard you, Mojo. You're not going to tell me there's vampires in New Orleans.
Vampires?
Oh, God, that's all I need. Dreams of being chased by a zombie right into the arms of some vampire.
What about Madonna Vampire? You didn't seem to mind having her arms wrapped around you.
Who is the Madonna Vampire?
Oh, she's not a vampire. Well, not a real one. Mojo, she doesn't suck blood. I mean, you've seen her teeth. Look, how did we get started on vampires anyway?
All I said was this is vampire country.
Doesn't Anne Rice live here?
The writer? The one who writes about that... Count, what's his name?
Van Bielestadt.
That's right.
Well, at least voodoo doesn't have vampires, right?
Are you kidding? Man, that's the dark side of voodoo, brujeria.
Do you mean witchcraft?
Sure, but there's good witches and bad witches.
This is in voodoo.
It's under the same umbrella.
Well, how do you know which witch is which?
Oh, man, you couldn't resist that, could you?
Tell us, Mojo.
Okay, the good witches, they keep their secrets in a cauldron and sprinkle it with holy water.
Witches use holy water?
Yeah, that's what makes them good.
The evil spirits are frightened away. They get burned by the touch of holy water. The chants they use for the invocations are called mambos.
Mambos? Limbos? What are you talking about?
In Haitian voodoo, mambo is also the name they give to a high priestess.
Is this white magic or black magic?
The witchcraft I'm talking about, whether you use it for good or evil, isn't exactly a part of the religion. They say it's a faster way to get results than working with the Orisha.
So if they don't use the Orishas, what do they use?
The dead.
The dead?
It's in the cauldron. That's where the Nganga, or dead spirit, or supernatural force, is said to reside.
There really is a witch's cauldron?
Can you pass the butter?
The cauldron. That's where they keep the human skull. And bones, graveyard dust, crossroad dust, herbs, insects, animals, and bird carcasses. You know, stuff like that.
Even in voodoo, they have cauldrons?
Oh, yeah. And once you get to cooking in the cauldron, you start chanting the mambos to invoke the spirit and get it to obey you. But you gotta feed the Nganga.
Feed it what?
It likes blood. Usually, they use a rooster.
Give me the salt, huh?
But first, you gotta go to a graveyard and dig up a corpse. Best a recent burial, where the brain is still present.
Still present? You mean still intact?
Could you give me another roll, please?
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's okay if it's decayed a little. The best brain, when you're doing black witchcraft, is the brain of a criminal, or an insane person. They say the brains of white people are the best.
Why white people?
They're easier to influence than the brain of a black person. That's what they say. So you write the name of the dead person on a piece of paper and place it on the bottom of your cauldron. You add a few coins and some earth from the grave, and then you sacrifice a rooster. Put some of his blood in there.
And that's all you add to the cauldron?
No, no, no. There's lots more. Like ants, worms, lizards, bats, a tarantula, centipede, a wasp, a scorpion, and a few more things I don't think you want to know about.
Thank you.
That's it, then?
No, no. What you've been doing is creating the Nganga. Now you get to use it.
How?
Don't ask.
I'm glad you asked. Let's say you're doing black witchcraft, and a woman comes and asks you to kill her husband because he's throwing his money away on other women. So then you go to a cemetery where you buy the life of the husband with a silver coin, like maybe 50 cents.
50 cents?
You pay for his life by burying the coin there in the cemetery. That becomes the symbolic grave of the man. Then you take a live cat and a hammer and a big nail and...
Mojo.
Are you sure you want to hear this?
Mojo, I never asked to hear any of this. I don't even know how we got onto this god-awful subject.
Vampires?
And what do vampires have to do with this Nganga you've just created?
Like I said, you add rooster's blood to the cauldron to feed the Nganga. Well, some black witches use their own blood.
Why their own blood?
They say it makes it more potent. But some say the Nganga may become addicted to human blood and become a vampire.
Wonderful.
And then, that vampire may come after the person who fed it their blood.
Well, I'm glad you made this all perfectly clear.
Can I have a light?
Sure. You look a little, white.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub in Portland. This event features food, drink, live music, fortune-telling, and more. The Columbia SLU Watershed Council works to clean up the Columbia SLU. They teach environmental education in schools, engage volunteers to plant trees, and nature festivals. Again, that's Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub, 1036 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
Yo.
Yo. KBOO is excited to be part of the 2018 Willamette Week Give Guide. This year, Willamette Week and KBOO are challenging our community to give with their dollars and take action by showing up in real life. KBOO has been showing up for over 50 years. Give to KBOO today and you get full access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, Gluten Free Gem, Wii Press, and Nosa Familia Coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give or call 503-231-8032. Support KBOO, where music makes the movement.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Shine With Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott downtown in Portland. Shine is the annual brunch and fundraiser for the Q Center, a place of resilience, strength, and love. This year marks 15 years since Q Center began serving the community. At Shine, there will be a cabaret, brunch, and honoring of Q Center heroes. Again, that's Shine with Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott, 1401 Southwest NATO Parkway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm at the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland. That certainly woke me up. Let me get this sleep out of my eyes. I was taking a long autumn nap. And I was so rudely interrupted by that. What was that? Okay, all right. Stepping lightly into the studio from the hallway and... Looking there, and there it is, right over there at the other side of the studio. It's the big chair. And I better climb into it because I have a directive that says I must be here now. From the corner of Calicala Boulevard and Bourbon Street, in a little Spanish village, a small discotheque on the Isle of Capri. Come with me to far away places.